Glorious, glorious. Thank you, Jason, for that rendition. Another hand of applause. Yes, and thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn. It's good to understand the history of the denomination and where it comes from and how we got here. So that is a good depth. So he wasn't just wearing the skirt because he likes it. It is all has a purpose behind it. I thank you for that. Today I want to look in the book of John. I want to turn to the book of John. And we're going to go to the fourth chapter. The book of John in the fourth chapter. I'm going to read from the fourth to the 14th verse. Book of John, fourth chapter. I'm going to read from the fourth to the 14th. Verses. And it reads as thus. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that you ask you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Father God, we come to you now. In this moment, looking, needing a word. Asking you now to show us your purpose for our lives. Use this message, this scripture, to guide us deeper into an understanding of who we are in you. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So this holiday time, I went and I saw something that was very interesting. They have these things where you can do virtual tours, right? Anybody heard of these virtual tours? You can put on glasses, encased glasses, and you're looking in this video, and it shows you wherever the destination is. So if you want to go to the Bahamas on the beach, you put these on, and there you are, just hanging out on the beach. Sand, you see your toes in the sand, the waves coming up on the shore, you can hear it, and it makes you feel like you're there, right? Virtual tours. And now they have it, and you can sit at home, and you put these things on, and you can go to a sporting event that's actually happening. So if I wanted to watch the football game, but be at the game. I can put these things on, and there I am, and somebody's spilling beer over here on me, and Cracker Jacks are flying around, and I'm at the game. But I'm not actually at the game, right? It's virtual reality. It's kind of there. It makes me think I'm there. It looks like it. It sounds like it. Maybe even feels like it. But I'm not actually there. It's interesting the shift that's happening in our world to our perceptions. We're going kind from a physical thing to a virtual world and understanding. I mean, it's already here. A lot of what we do is on our phones, the information we receive, the things we see are somewhere else. It's not even out here as much. So a lot of it is already kind of happening. And this virtual, the actual definition is it's an almost or nearly as described, but not completely or according to a strict definition. So it's almost it, it's like it, but it ain't it. Another definition, it says it's not physically existing as such, but made by software to appear to do so. That's kind of what we were talking about, right? It appears, has the appearance of being what it is we expect to see. And so today I want to kind of look at this virtual reality that we are stepping into and how we discern that from our real world. And you say, well, what does this have to do with Jesus? Well, Jesus was a real person, but we're not allowed to touch him anymore. He's not in a physical form. So he's almost like a virtual Jesus to us. He's there. We think about him. Maybe we feel him. We read about him. But it's not quite where I can put my hands on him. But wouldn't we love to be able to do that? That he wasn't virtual, but he's a reality for our lives. So kind of want to look at that today. And the three ways I want to kind of pose this is looking at the actual and not just the appearance. Secondly, seeing the authentic of something and not just acting it. And finally, the victory and not the virtual. See, in the scripture, we find Jesus coming through Samaria, and he stops at a well. And I love this story because it's the most unlikeliest of scenarios to make a point, right? Here's Jesus, a man, and he's going to a well, but he has none of the things he needs to get a drink from the well. He doesn't have a bucket. He doesn't have a cup. He looks like he's not really supposed to be going to a well. He looks like he should just be keep moving it on. But he stops at this well with none of the things he needs to do what you would think a person at a well would want to do. And then here comes another unlikely person to be at the well. This woman, by herself, has her bucket. But she's coming, it says, in the noontime, which most of the time, if you're going to go to the well to get water and prepping, you do it first thing in the morning. You get up and you want to get to the well. Wherever it's rained, however that water is, it's fresh. You want to get that water before everybody else comes and takes the water. But here she comes at noon, later in the day. And we learn that she comes later because she was embarrassed. She didn't want other people to see her. And so we have these two people who really don't have any business at this well at this time. But here they are having this encounter. And it's interesting to me because she sees him and automatically feels like he shouldn't be there and that he shouldn't be asking her for water, even though they're at a well to get water. Because he says to her, for a drink, and she's offended by it. Why? Because he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. And there's a history there that they're not supposed to get along. They're not supposed to talk and intermingle. And him being a man should not be talking to this woman, especially a Samaritan woman. And we know her history, that she's had several husbands and she's ashamed of who she is. But yet, here it is. She finds herself with the Son of God, not knowing who he is. And isn't that how it happens? That we're in our lives looking at ourselves, maybe ashamed of who we are or who we have been, walking around avoiding the awkward situations, avoiding situations where people may ask me about things that I don't want to talk about, avoiding those parts of ourselves that we don't want to come to the light. We walk around that, and we can get away with that for a while because appearances are everything. But then at some point, we're going to run into Jesus. And we may not recognize him, but he's going to confront us about the very things that we're hiding from. See, we all want to kind of have this appearance of things, how things look, but we need to understand what's actually there. You know, driving down, we went down to the Outer Banks, and driving down, you see all these signs, the billboards, and it's like this perfect families up there, right? They're happy, and they're on the beach, and the kids are all happy and following behind mom, and dad's just there, just happy with his sunglasses on. And it's this perfect picture. But then you get down there, and you try to get your kids to listen to you going to the beach. And they go this way, and mom's chasing them that way, and you're trying to make sure nobody's drowning and dying, and you got to put umbrella up and get everything situated. It's not quite the picture that they painted coming in. But that's how it is. The appearance of things is just that. It's an appearance. It's a moment. It's a facade. And that's okay. But we have to understand that the reality of things, the truth of things, aren't always so picturesque. And that's okay too. See, we can act one way in public when we come out. I see you, I'm going to be cordial, I'm going to be nice. But when I go home and I'm with my kids and family, I kind of want to be left alone for a little while. I'll still be cordial and nice for the most part. But the way we act in public is not necessarily that we act the way we act at home. Or maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. Maybe all you guys act exactly the same way. You go home and you sit and you're quiet and you're attentive and you're just as nice as pie. Maybe so. I don't know. I'm not judging. But in my reality, they can be different things. And that's not to criticize, but that's for us to realize that that does happen. And it goes to another layer than that, because we can act a certain way, just like this woman was acting a certain way. But when we are confronted with Christ, when we are confronted with a situation that causes us to not understand what's going on, where our shame is coming out, but we don't really understand why, that we're being defensive and protecting ourselves from something, but we don't really understand what it is we're protecting ourselves from. And Jesus is saying, I want to break down those walls. I want you to come to me just as you are. your authentic self. Not the acting one, not the one that goes to school and is nice, not the one that goes to church, not the one that's in public all the time. That one is fine, but I need you. I need the true you. You know, the one that does curse sometimes, the one that does get angry sometimes, the one that does fight against the other people that we come across, that acts ugly, as Mama used to say. That person, I need to talk to that guy, to that girl, because I made them too. And I love that person too. That's the authentic self. And so the woman was confused in this situation, confronted by a man who was a Jew and her being a Samaritan, who comes to the well with no tools to get water. And she says something to him that shows her confusion. She says, "You have nothing to draw with, and," here it is, "and the well is deep." Ooh, I could stay there all day. Because that's how we see things. We see them for what they are, we think we do. I mean, what a crazy world. We're all walking around thinking we're right. I don't think anyone's walking around saying, "Man, I am wrong all the time. All the way I think is not the right way of thinking. Decisions I'm making are all just wrong." I mean, maybe you beat yourself up sometimes. After fact, 2020. But we all feel like what we're doing is in our best interest. We're trying to do what we think is the best thing, just as she was. And she's asking him this question: how can you get water? You don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. You can't reach down there. You don't understand my situation. My life goes further, deeper down than you can ever realize. What you see on the outside, it may seem okay, but deep down, I'm disturbed. I have problems. I have real issues that I can't even deal with. This world can't handle the things that I'm going through because my well is too deep. Do you feel like your well is just so deep that no matter how much big your bucket is that you drop down in there, it's just not gonna get any water? This is where she finds herself. But she's talking to the right man. Because even though we act differently at home, even at home on the inside, we act even another way. Because at home, maybe we're comfortable. We're comfortable in our space. It's our home, my couch, my TV, my bed, all of which I missed on vacation. So it's nice to come back home. But even within that home, we're still there. And we're still wrestling with our issues. And a lot of times those issues are played out right there in our homes. All that friction comes out right there in our homes. Things that annoy us the most are right there in our homes. So how do we deal with that? We have to go deeper. The well is deeper. Christ says, "I have this living water." Oh, what is he talking about? So she says, "What is this living water that you speak of?" Well, the Bible talks about this living water a little bit. Psalms 36 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see the light." Zechariah 14 says, "And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem." This is what Jesus is talking about. Psalms 42 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with this God? Isaiah 55 says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? And this is where we come to the living of the water. Because living water means it doesn't go away. It's alive. It's alive in us. This is where the Spirit is working in us and through us. So no matter what we're going through, when we feel we are hungry, we are tired, the world is beating us up, the world is not nourishing us anymore, and we're thirsty for something else, something that's real, not just this virtual cycle that we keep getting more and more things, and technology is going to get more and more advanced to the point we won't have to go anywhere and we can travel everywhere. But our thirst will remain because we need something that's real. And I don't mean physically real. I mean everlasting real. Something that when I take a drink from it, it's not just going to be processed through my body and go away, but it's going to remain in me forever. That's why when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I did it as a choice for my eternal soul, not just for my present physical body. Because I understand that this Spirit that I have accepted, it feeds me, it pours into me every moment, every second of my life. When I went away for vacation, I know it's supposed to be fun in the sun, but it is about relaxing, and it's about getting away and having time with just me and my Lord and my Savior. Going into that prayer closet where it's just quiet, and you tune everything out and you say, Lord, speak to me. I do all the talking. You hear my complaints all the time. But in these moments, let me just shut down and shut up and hear what you have to say to me. That's how we are fed. We spend a lot of our lives pouring out, giving, trying to be there for our loved ones. But when do we allow God to pour into us? The lady at the well, she was in her last hopes. She didn't know what else to do. She didn't have any ambitions in life. She had been outcasted to the point where she had to go in public when she thought no one else was there. And here's Christ saying, this water, don't you worry about this well. I'm going to give you a water that will pour into you for an eternity. That's our challenge. In a virtual world, information at our hands, what seems real isn't real. Who knows what's real news, fake news? But what we do know is we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. Let him pour his living water into you and receive it, so we'll never have to look to the world to quench our thirst again. Amen. As the band comes forward, that is our challenge, to keep our focus on Christ, but allowing him to pour into us. Allow him to give to you what it is he has for you. Take some time this week and the coming weeks. Set aside just quietness and just listen for his voice. Read a scripture and just allow silence. Don't ask for anything. Don't have an agenda. Turn it over to him and watch how he'll move in your life. There is a one who does not receive this Savior, this life-changing Messiah, I invite you now to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion and begin your journey.